tonight we're going to do it from the Rabbi Zess. This is our last night shiur for the summer. As Hashem, I don't know. Maybe on Thursday nights we'll continue from the Rabbi's desk if there's interest. But we'll see. We'll see what the interest is. But anyway, this is officially the last night shiur for the summer. So it's Thursday night, and that's when I traditionally give the from the Rabbi's desk shiur. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Although tonight I want to do something a little bit. Well, okay. Maybe I'll pose two shilas, but we'll see if we answer. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm going to leave it up to a vote. Let's see. Let's see what happens. So two shilas that came up. One I mentioned, I think, the other night, or at some point to some of you, a wonderful Talmud from a shir this past year, recently got married this year, and he said that he has a minhag that he's mekabel Shabbos early every single week. So he made daven mincha early, then he was mekabel Shabbos before the shul was davening Kabbalah Shabbos. He was mekabel Shabbos at home. He must have been sitting and learning or whatever, maybe setting the table. I don't know what he was doing. And then it came time to go to shul, to go to Kabbalah Shabbos. Right after his wife lit candles, he was heading out the door to go to Kabbalah Shabbos. And his wife stopped him and said, let's give him a name, we'll call him Yoni. And she said, Yoni. And he said, yeah. She said, your earbuds are in your ear still. And he was already Mekabel Shabbos. She was already Mekabel Shabbos. And he still had his earpods in. And he said that when you take the earpods out, they beep. So, like, you're actually shutting them off when you remove them from your ear. Not only that, if you go too far away from your phone, you're also shutting them off. So what should he do after he's already been Mekabel Shabbos? She's already been Mekabel Shabbos. What does he do about his earpods? That is Shaila number one. Shaila number two, perhaps even more fascinating. I got a voice note from a Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if he wants to be identified, so I'm not going to identify him by name, but suffice it to say, if I were to say his name, you would all know it. He said as follows. He said that he has developed over the course of time a relationship with an evangelical community in South Carolina. He goes and he talks about the Holocaust, and he speaks there. He talks about, Eretz Yisrael, and a lot of interesting things that they're very fascinated by, so much so that they've even taken trips to Eretz Yisrael, meaning members of this community have taken trips to Eretz Yisrael. He's given them tours of Yad Vashem, and he even had one family, or maybe even more than one, but one in particular, over to his house for Shabbos Su'uda. One time when they were in Eretz Yisrael, so they could see what it's like, how from people have a Shabbos Suda and how they enjoy Kavan Onik Shabbos. So that was and he has like this ongoing relationship. So every once in a while they'll email him, he'll email them. He's about to make a chasana for one of his children, for one of his younger children, and his the child he's making a chasana for is planning on learning in Kollel for at least a few years after the chasana. So he sent out a copy of the invitation on email to a number of friends that he has from throughout the world. You know, he travels a lot, and as a nice thing to say, making a chasana, you're welcome to join if you happen to be in Eretz Yisrael or whatever. Very nice thing. So this evangelical Christian woman from South Carolina sends back an email that Mazel Tov on the upcoming wedding. It's very, very exciting. My understanding is that your children are going to be learning Torah for the first few years of marriage. I never had the opportunity to support people who learn Torah, and I would view it as a great privilege, as a great zechus to bankroll a young couple that are dedicating their time to learning Torah. I would like to support them for the first 2 years of marriage while they're learning Torah. And he says to me, she's mamish, Ernst, mamish l'shem shemayim. She really just wants to, do the right thing, and it's a sincere offer. So his shaila was, is he allowed to take her up on this offer to support his children while they are learning Torah? So that is shaila number two. We're not going to go with three shailas. We'll go with two shailas. So you tell me what you think. Do we have a vote for shaila one or shaila two? You can put it in the chat. You can hold up a finger. Kiva, Shlomo, no? I saw yours, Gabe. I saw yours. Oh, really? Okay, that's not the one I wanted to do. So
Mine too.
we're gonna start with number three, and then we'll move back to number one, time permitting. Okay, how about that? Okay, so starting with number two, which I don't know, I thought it was a fascinating shaila. Happens to be, I asked two
Number
different. What's that?
two is interesting, but like number one seems more a bit more practical.
That's true. I hear that. I hear that. So maybe we'll talk about number one a little bit at the end. But if I don't, remind me. The second child I thought was fascinating. Maybe it's more fascinating to me because I asked a couple of Gedolei HaPoskim and I got two different answers. And that's always exciting, right? When you ask Gedolei HaPoskim and you get different answers from different Gedolei HaPoskim. I don't know that either of them want to be quoted necessarily because of the sensitivity of the nature of the arguments. But just suffice it to say, I got different answers from Gedolei HaPoskim. So let's go through the sugya a little bit. What is the inyan or what is the issue when it comes to being mekabel tzedakah, essentially, from Nachrim? So there are really two sugyas in Shas. There's the Gemara Masechta. Well, I guess there are three. I mean, if you count the Mishnah in the first paragraph of Shkalim that talks about being mekabel nedarim unedavos from Nachrim, so then I guess you would have three that you're allowed to be mekabel the nedarim unedavos, but that's Beis Hamikdash related. That's Karban related. Beis Tefillah hilchala amim. You know, so the idea that that kol shenidav v'nidav mekablin miyadan. That seems to be something that's unique to Karbanos, right? But when it comes to this actual sugya of being mekabel tzedakah from Nachrim, so it seems that there are two sugyas in Shas. There's Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, and the Gemara tells us that ochle davar acher psulun le'edus, that people who are ochle davar acher are pasul le'edus. So davar acher in Shas always means something that's unspeakable. So it's an unimaginable kind of thing. So terrible. So what does Rashi mean? What does it mean? So sometimes davar acher means chazer. So what does davar acher mean over here? So says Rashi, mekablei tzedakah min hanachrim. People who are mekabel tzedakah from Nachrim are psulun la'edus. And Rashi writes, Dahave chilul Hashem. It's a chilul Hashem for a Jew to be mekabel tzedakah min hanachrim. Machmas mamon, vavle karosha dechamas. And that's why you pasul la'edus, because you're compromising your principles for the sake of money, and that's what makes a person pasul la'edus, when one compromises their principles for the sake of money. And that's what a person is doing. He's creating this chilul Hashem. Why? Because there's financial benefit to him in doing so. And any time someone would compromise their principles for money, that automatically is a psul la'edus, because if someone can be bought, if someone's integrity can be bought, then obviously they cannot be a kasher la'ed. So that's why it comes up in Masechta Sanhedrin in the context of psul la'edus. But then the Gemara says a qualification. Hani mili b'farhesia aval b'tzina lo, that the whole problem is only if it's done publicly, but if it's done privately, then it's not a problem. Now, why would it not be a problem? So it seems like because it's not a chilul Hashem. Meaning the chilul Hashem element of it is only if it's done publicly. If it's done privately, apparently it's not considered to be a chilul Hashem. So that's what the Gemara says, that there are psulim le'edus. And Tosfos first suggests that ochle davar acher means ochle chazir. Maybe it doesn't relate to collecting tzedakah from Gayim. Tosfos says, you know, lekel lefrushe ochle davar acher dainu ochle chazir. Diba ochle chazir echim aflik ben sinna lefaresia. Tosfos says, the Gemara's next line is that we distinguish between sinna and faresia. If it's about eating chazir, there's no room to distinguish between sinna and faresia. So therefore, Tosfos says, Rashi's right, that it means mekabel tzedakah min anachrim. Good, so that's one sugya in Shas. It happens to be lahalacha in Hilchos Tzedakah in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Nun Dalet in Yaradeya Seif Aleph Asur Li Yisrael Litol Tzedakah Min Ha'Oved Kochavim Befarhesia. You know, one might have argued maybe it's Asur both Betzina and Befarhesia. It's only Psul Eidus if you do it Befarhesia. So the Shulchan Aruch leaves no room for negotiation on that. The Shulchan Aruch says Asur liyisrael litzal tzedakah min ha'oved kochavim b'farhesia, that it's asur to do it b'farhesia, sounds like b'tzina, it's going to be totally mutter. So that is sugya number one, paskin lahalacha l'maisa. comes along the Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra, Sugya number 2. In the first parak of Maseches Bava Basra, a long, beautiful passage on Daf Yudam Beis, going over to Daf Yudam Yeral from Ral from Maseches Bava Basra, the Gemara tells us, Tanya Amalan Rabbi Yochanan Zaki the Talmidav, Banai, Mao Shamra Kasav Tzedakah Terom Gai V'Chasalum Chatas. What does the pasuk mean when it says, Tzedakah Terom Gai? Everyone gave their own answers of how to tighten up that pasuk. Nena Rabbi Eliezer v'amar tzedaka tromim goy el Yisrael d'chsiv mikam chisol goy echad ba'aretz. Who's the goy that tzedaka elevates? That's Klal Yisrael. We're the only goy. Rav Shecht always likes to point out they're called mishpachos ha'adama. All the other nations are only really families. We're the only one that's truly a goy, that's truly a nation, which is ironic, right? Meaning the only Guy is the Jew. Everyone else are just mishpachos ha'adama. So when the pasuk says tzedakah terom goy, it means that when the Jewish people give tzedakah, that elevates us. And v'cheselum chatos called tzedakah v'chesed shumos avikchav mosin chetu lehen shein mosin lis gadol bo. When the umos ha'olam give tzedakah, it's a chet for them because they're only doing it to receive honor through it. Then the Gemara goes on to say, then Rabbi Yeshua va'amar yet a different pshat tzedakah. A little bit different. First half is the same as the original approach of Rabbi Eliezer, that it's good for Jews to give tzedakah, but the second half is about that when Goyim give tzedakah, it's a chet for them, because not because they're doing it, as we said before, at least gadel, but they're doing it so that they'll have zuchuyos, so that their malchus will extend. Nen Rabbi Gamliel va'amar tzedakah terom goy el Yisrael d'chsiv mikam chisrael v'cheselum chatos called tzedakah v'chesel shakam osin chetulen shein osin elu lihisyaher bo. All of these have the same basic theme, that since the umos ha'olam give tzedakah for ulterior motives, whether it's lisgadel, whether it's lahamshich malchusan lehisyaher bo, but because of that, it's not a full mitzvah. Then Rabbi Lazar Amadoi omer tzedakah terom goy Yisrael. Again, same first half of the pasuk. Chesel l'mchatos called tzedakah v'chesel sha'akum osin chetulen shein osin ela lecharef osanu bo. They're doing it to humiliate Klal Yisrael. Hashem ravayov v'yas Hashem kasher diber ki chatosam l'Hashem v'lo shamatim b'kolo v'ilchem hadavar hazeh. And then Nen Rabbi Chun ben Akana, answer number 5, I think we're up to, and he said tzedakah terumim goy v'chesed liYisrael kama Ulaumim chatas, that tzedakah teromim goy v'chesed, that's all the Yisrael. The tzedakah and the chesed, the teromim goy and the chesed, that's all the Yisrael. But laumim is only chatas. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, near in divrei Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana midvarayu midvareichem. That's the best answer, because he's the only one that associates both tzedakah and chesed to Yisrael, and he only associates chatos to akum. So that's the best answer. Says the Gemara that mechlal. Mechlal, Duhunami Amar. Sounds like he had an answer also. So, Mayhi, what was his own answer? So, Detanya, because he said the answer of the Mechuni Ben Akana is better than all of your answers and better than my answer. So, it sounds like he also had an answer of how to touch up the pasuk. Says, Maramulam Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Keshem Shechatos Mechaperes al Yisrael, Kach Tzedakah Mechaperes alumos ha'olam. Ooh, that just like Chatos, a carbon Chatos is Mechaper for the Jewish people, Tzedakah is Mechaper for the umos ha'olam. And then the Gemara tells a story that if Rehormiz, Ema Deshvar Malcha, Shadra Arba Mea Dinari, the Kamed Rabbi Ami, if Rehormiz, the mother of King Shavur, sent 400 dinars to Rabbi Ami, Velo Kablinu, he would not accept it. Shabrinu Kamed Rava, she sent it to Rava instead, the Kablinu Mishum Shalom Malchus, and he accepted it for the sake of Shalom Malchus. Shamar Rabbi Ami Ikbid, Rabbi Ami heard that Rava accepted it and made me look bad, so he got upset. Amar lesle biyavosh ketzira tishabarna. Don't you hold that of the pasuk biyavosh ketzira tishabarna nashim baos miiros asa v'rava mishum shalom malchus? Rava held no. Anyway, it's mutter because of shalom malchus. Meaning, what was he asking him? That don't you realize that when biyavosh ketzira tishabarna, Rashi explains kishetichle zuchus shabiyadam v'yivash lachluchis meisa tzedakah shalem If you want to break the stranglehold that the Umos Olam have over Klal Yisrael, they need to run out of zechuyos. So they, you cannot help them generate more zechuyos. If you help them generate more zechuyos, it's going to prolong our galus. So how can you accept this tzedakah from the mother of Shomalka if it's going to cause the galus to be prolonged? And he said, I understand, but Mishum Shalom Malchus, I had no choice. Asked the Gemara, why didn't Rabbi Ami think of Mishum Shalom Malchus? He did think of it, but he said, you know, at least you should have distributed it to Avdik Chavim. Says Gemara, and the reality is, Rava did distribute the money to Avdik Chavim, and Rabbi Ami was only upset because he was unfamiliar with all the details. He knew that Rava had accepted the money, but he didn't know that Rava had actually distributed it to Avdik Chavim. But it seems loud and clear in this Gemara that had he accepted it and distributed this tzedakah money to Jews, it would be a violation of the pasuk of Bivosh Kitzira Tishavarna, that when the zechuyos of the Umos Olam run out, that's when the galus will be over. So you see explicitly that you're not allowed to be makabel tzedakah from Avdik Chavim for that very reason. And in fact, Babasra Daf Chesamid Aleph, the Gemara is a similar mind. The Gemara tells us on Daf Chesamid Aleph, where is it? Trying to find it. Yeah, the Gemara has a similar story over there that they also didn't want to accept tzedakah. What does the Gemara say over there on Daf Chesamid Aleph in Maseches Bava Basra, that Rav Yosef was mekabel from a load of a bag of money from Ifra Hormiz in order to be Poda Shvuyim? And Tos says, why did he do that? How is he allowed to do that? So he says, because of it was a unique situation, because it was Shalom Malchus. But outside of Shalom Malchus, you would not be allowed to do that. So back in Shulchan Aruch, in that same Simon in Yardaya, Simon Reishon and Dalid, Si'if Beis, comes along the Shulchan Aruch, Sar of the Chavim, Sheshalach Mamli Yisrael the Tzedaka, Ein Machzirin Oso Mishum Shalom Malchus, you accept the money, but you give it to Avdik Chavim B'Seser, Kedoshali Yishma Hasar, so that the Sar won't know about it. V'yeshom, says the Rama, T'yasben Mashat Sivalo Amoshal. You got to do whatever he tells you to do with it, but that's only when he gives tzedakah. Avle Minad V'ndavar L'Beis HaKnesses Mekabel Mehem. If they decide to be Minad or something for a Beis HaKnesses, that's going to be Mutter. So says the Rama. So bottom line is, the Shulchan Aruch tells us you're not allowed to be Mekabel Tzedakah Bifarhesya from Avdik Chavim. That's Sif Aleph. And then in Sif Beis, if a Sar of Avdik Chavim gives tzedakah, you do not return it, but only because of Shalom Malchus. So L'chora, this is very difficult, because Sif Aleph told us that Bitzina is perfectly okay to be Mekabel Tzedakah from Gayim. So if it's perfectly okay to be Mekabel Bitzina, then why is it that it's only Mishum Shalom Malchus that you're allowed to be Mekabel? L'chora, you should be allowed to be Mekabel anyway, as long as you do so Bitzina. So that is a major kasha that all of the Gedolei HaPoskim are bothered by. Meaning, and this is really our issue right here. I mean, this is the Shaila that we're dealing with. If you don't mind, take off my jacket, a little warm in here. But this is the Shaila that the Poskim are dealing with. Meaning that we're dealing with over here. That if it's about, if you're not allowed to be Mekabel Tzedakah because you're not allowed to give them Zechuyos, because their Zechuyos are going to cause a prolonging of the galus, so then that's a then we have a problem over here. But if it's only a problem with Farhesia, Bitzina, the woman wants no credit. She's giving money and she's not going to hear anything about it. So it's going to be totally Bitzina. She doesn't even want the guy's children to know about where the money's coming from. Totally Bitzina. She just wants the zechus of being Tomech Torah. Completely Bitzina. So then it would be mutter. So the Achronim are all bothered by this kasha, and they each have a different approach. There are five different approaches that are mentioned in Achronim to this kasha. The Drisha on the bottom of the Torah says, by the Gabbai Tzedakah, there's an Isser of Bivosh Ketzirah Tishabarna. But a private individual who gets personal benefit in receiving the tzedakah from the guy, there's no Isser. Ooh, so if that's the case, then Lechora over here, we're okay. This is not an official Gabbai Tzedakah receiving money for a community. It's a particular earmarked fund for a person, so or for a young couple, so it would seem to be mutter. The Taz writes that it's only when the Nachri is makbid to give dafka la aniyei Yisrael that you're not allowed to be makabel. But if the Nachri is giving to aniyei Yisrael and aniyei Nachrim, then there's no iser. That's going to be a little trickier for us, right? Because in this case, dafka she wants to give to aniyei Yisrael. I don't think it means that if they ever give any money to non-Jewish causes that that makes it okay. I don't think that's what the Taz means. I think what the Taz means is if this, you know, these funds are not necessarily earmarked for Yisraelim, then it's going to be okay. So according to the Drisha, we're okay. According to the Taz, not so okay. The Rishon Letzion suggests that it's only by tzedakah that's given by a melech or sarim that's considered as if the entire nation has given. Meaning, what's the issue over here? The prolonging of the galus, the prolonging of the umos ha'olam having shlita, having dominion over us. That's only true on a national level when you're talking about governments, but particular individuals, let them be tzaddikim, let them be wonderful, let them do mitzvahs, let them generate zuchuyos. There's no problem with a guy generating zuchuyos. He's put on this earth, he's supposed to do sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach, and he's supposed to live a righteous life. So what is more righteous than that? The problem is only from a governmental perspective that we're trying to avoid the prolonging of the galus. So that's the suggestion of the Rishon Tzion, in which case, in our case, it would be mutter as well. In the Maaser Rokeach, he suggests that it's only when the Nachri gives tzedakah to the Rabbim there's an Isser. But when he gives to an individual Jew, then it's a great zechus, and there's nothing wrong with it. Similar to the Drisha's distinction with the Gabbai tzedakah, but we're not so much about the Gabbai tzedakah, even if it's direct, but direct to the Rabbim or direct to an individual. In which case, we'd also be okay, because over here it's to an individual. The Aruch HaShulchan holds that it's only, that the difference is that it's only b'makom hechrech gomur that you're allowed to be notel betzina. But that's not a heter lechachila. Meaning, the idea that betzina, it's mutter, it's with a krecht that we allow a betzina. We're not happy about allowing a betzina. But if it's absolute hechrech that you must, you have no other way to live, you have no other way to make it, that's where it's going to be a problem. So I feel comfortable, I feel like I can mention one of the Gedolei HaPoskim that this Shaila was posed to. That's Moreinu Rav Shechter Shlita. And Rav Shechter said, quoting all of these sources, he said, "Bivosh k'sir tishabarna." But if it's a real hechrich to the point that he has no idea how else the new couple is going to eat, how they're going to be able to survive, how they're going to be able to make it, then he'd be allowed to accept. But he said probably that's not the case. Meaning before this offer came along, there was some sort of plan, there was some way that that the couple was going to be able to put food on the table. So probably that's not the case. So unless it's a mamish hechrich, he thought it was improper to accept the tzedakah money. But again, we had five different answers over here, and according to the Drisha, according to the Rishon Lezion, according to the Maaser Rokeach, l'chaora, it's mutter. It's only according to the Taz and the Aruch HaShulchan that we have a problem over here. So now, from the Gemara that says that there's an Isra to be makabel tzedaka from Gayim, Tosos and Maseches Babasran of Chesam Ralph asks, based on the Sugya Maseches Arachin, the Sugya Maseches Arachin and Bavav Amid Aleph tells us that you're allowed to be makabel a ner lebeis haknesses from a goy. I fractosos, but you're not allowed to be makabel tzedaka, so how could you be makabel the ner lebeis haknesses from a goy? So Tosos suggests, Hasam Taima Mishum Dahavu Kimo Korban. Arminon ish ish the rabbis nachum shenodrim nedarim nedavos ki Israel, that a ner lebeis haknesses has a din like a korban, and therefore we could be noder nedarim nedavos ki Israel. And the reason is because it's dafka tzedaka that's mechaper that we're not mekabel from an achri. Nedarim nedavos are not lekapara. Chatos is the kapara. The Dorim and the Davos are not, their purpose is not for a kapara. And therefore, you're allowed to be mekabel from them. And the Ramah paskins is the halacha. that when it comes to tzedakah, so regular tzedakah comes as a kapara. When it comes to chataos are for a kapara, but nedarim u'nedavos, that's not there for a kapara. Nedarim u'nedavos, it's tam, a way of serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, but they're not there as a kapara. So anything that's not going to serve as a kapara, which would then elongate the galus if something was a kapara for them, because their malchus would last longer, so then it's going to be permissible. The only other point that I think needs to be added over here is that one has to question the motivation of the evangelical community, meaning the evangelical community. I just did a quick Google search on Christian Zionism. Christian Zionism, according to Wikipedia, is a belief among some Christians that the return of the Jews to the Holy Land and the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948 were in accordance with Bible prophecy. The term began to be used in the mid-20th century, superseding Christian Restorationism. However, Christian advocacy grew after the Protestant Reformation, some Christian Zionists believe that the gathering of the Jews in Israel is a prerequisite for the second coming of Yeshu, meaning that in order for Yeshu to come back, all of the Jews have to return to the land of Israel and then either accept Yeshu or die, and then he'll come back. So the motivation of an evangelical community to support Torah in Eretz Yisrael, you know, they're major donors to Aliyah, for people to make Aliyah, and you can get all your stuff to Israel much, much cheaper if you take advantage of the funds that are being offered by Christian communities. So there are those that are very suspicious of this. What exactly is the play? Are we playing into, you know, Rav Shach always points out that their belief was that we've been for years and years and years, for centuries, was that the Jewish people have been rejected because we failed to accept Yashka, and therefore we're never going to get Eretz Yisrael back again. But then we got Eretz Yisrael back, so they had to reassess everything, because then 1948 happened and everything had to be reassessed. So then the idea became, no, temporarily, you're going to get Eretz Yisrael back so that all the Jews will be able to be gathered into Eretz Yisrael, so that you'll then, if you don't accept Yashka, you'll then all die. You'll all be gathered in one convenient location to kill all of us. And which ironically is something similar to what the Satmar Rebbe believed, that the concern with Zionism was that when we all gather together into Eretz Yisrael, it's just going to be so much easier for our enemies to kill us. And that's why he was very concerned about so many people moving to Eretz Yisrael. He said he thought it was dangerous, especially since when Jews sin in Eretz Yisrael, it's a much more sensitive land to Averos. So we're gonna be chayiv, and it's gonna be terrible. So anyway, if that's the belief, and we're playing into that, and we're encouraging that belief, so that could be a significant problem. But anyway, what we do see, though, is
as long as we think they're wrong, why would that be a problem?
Right, I guess.
Does Rabbi think it's asker for Jews to live in England because the law letting us back in explicitly said it was because they didn't think that the issue would return until the Jews moved back to England? We think they're wrong. Why do we care if they're doing it because of?
I hear that. I hear it. It's a good taina. It's a good taina. I don't know.
Menachem Israel, by the way, made that taina. He convinced the
who
English.
Made the
he convinced the English to let Jews back in.
Who did you say? Who made the taina?
No, Menashe ibn Israel convinced Oliver Cromwell to, what was his name? Menashe, yeah, I think his name. He convinced Oliver Cromwell to let Jews back into England, because he convinced him that under Christianity that the Messiah couldn't come until we'd been nigla everywhere in the world.
Wow.
And they had to let us be nigla to England also.
Okay.
Well,
so I don't know, that's a fair question. I'm just saying the idea. That's a fair question. I'm not sure, but I do know that many poskim are very uneasy with that. But also, it's just something to be aware of that, you know, when a person says the person is mamash l'shem shemayim and they, you know, it's ernst and they wanna, you know, they just want to support Torah, one has to be wary that that may not be the only motivation from a very religious Christian community. So,
if anything else, Rabbi, that should be a heter. Or if that's in fact her motivation,
so then there's no zechus.
Arguably, yeah. So if that's in fact the case, then it comes out as smutter.
Yeah, meaning it's niskavin lechel basu chazi v'achel basu tle.
And by umos olam lechayra, we say that machshava tayve in a kadosh baruch hu mitzdar fel ha'maisa.
Right. Well, this is a machshava ra'a. It's a maisa tova.
You're right. So, yeah. So according to Rabbi, it should now be mutter.
Maybe. Yeah, I saw Gabe. You also asked Rav Moshe advocated prayer in public schools. Why wasn't that a problem with Bivosh Ksir Tishabarna? Rav Moshe held that every guy has an obligation to pray, right? Meaning, but he thought that that was part of the Shev Mitzvos. It's not one of the Shev Mitzvos. He said, yeah, of course it is. It's a mitzvah of Emunah Bashem.
But the Gemara in Sanhedrin, even if you don't say like the Ran that there is one of Shev Mitzvos B'nei Noach is Staka, although the Ran held that one of Shev Mitzvos B'nei Noach is to give Staka, the Gemara in Sanhedrin by Stone still somehow seems to clearly say that there's some chiv of tzedaka by Nachum.
Yeah, but meaning they may have a chiv of tzedaka, but we may not have a right to accept it.
But why? If the problem is that we're facilitating them in getting this chiv of tzedaka, so why was
their chiv of tzedaka is not klape Yisrael? It's not to give tzedaka to Jewish people. It's to be good, righteous people, so they should take care of the poor. So that's that I mentioned before. If they're giving to Nachrim and to Yisraelim together, so that's a different story, right? That's what the Taz had suggested.
Are we generally careful about this in other contexts? Don't all sorts of yeshivas and everything get donations from, I mean, they do like a dinner, you know, they honor rich business people and then all their associates.
Right, all the business associates, even non-Jews, give money. Yeah, I hear. Meaning, but this is exactly the machlokas. Meaning, when it's coming from an individual and it's a, you know, and it's not coming from a government. And but yeah, it's an interesting point. So,
also, Rabbi.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
No problem.
But tzedaka is to support aniyim. Is it clear that it's the din of tzedaka if she's paying someone to learn Torah? She or for whatever heter there is to teach someone to learn Torah, this person isn't an ani. She has some source of being a taimach be'a Talmud Torah.
Why do you say they're not an ani? It's a young couple that's married that has no parnasa.
She's not supporting, or at least she's not supporting him because of his anios. She's supporting him because she wants to pay someone to learn Torah.
Well, she
but
knows
that's
that
a din of being taimach be'a Talmud Torah. Is it clear that it's a mitzvah of tzedaka?
Yeah, it's Pashto says it is a mitzvah of tzedaka, but even besides for that, the chor of the person's an ani also.
Yeah.
So, okay, so anyway, so that is that Shaila. So
what
again,
whoever they were, what did the other Posek maybe spoke to say?
So the other Posek said, I can't go through the whole Cheshbon because it's not meant to be publicized, but basically that it's mutter because it's more of a government kind of issue. That if it's individuals are meant to be righteous, and there's nothing wrong with giving a zechus to an individual who's supposed to be righteous. You know, which we saw, right? That was one of the approaches in Poskim, that the whole thing is only for a government. That was the Rishon LeZion that suggested that it's only when it's Melech or a Sarim, but individuals are supposed to do mitzvahs, and there's nothing wrong with Chasidei Umos HaOlam and enabling people to be Chasidei Umos HaOlam. Right? This is one of those issues where one might argue that Hashkafa impacts the Halacha. You know, how does one view the role of a Nachri in this world, the role of a Ben Noach in this world? I think Rabbi Moshe Targum likes to say, I think it's Rabbi Moshe Targum that says, do we believe that billions of people are simply props on the stage of the Jewish people? Or is there some inherent value in their lives as well? So I think, meaning, when you formulate it that way, it sounds like a rhetorical question, but it may not be a rhetorical question for everybody. Meaning, some people believe, no, of course, they are just props for Jewish history to play out. Whereas others will say, no, Jewish history is we're banim l'makom v'chule, but every human being that's put here is put here with a mission and with a purpose, independently, to be good and to perfect themselves and to, you know, so why should we get in the way of someone someone who's trying to do that. It's not being ma'akiv the geula unless it's only on an individual basis. That's the argument to be made on the other side. And again, like we said, it seems to be that it's a machlokas haposkim, meaning not just the two poskim that I asked, like machlokas of classical poskim, whether you're allowed to accept in this case.
So what are they doing?
That's a good question. He didn't tell me yet. I reported back both answers, and he didn't tell me yet what he's doing.
It feels like the kind of thing where you can say, like, I can't let you do that or whatever. Like, it doesn't feel like it's they'll take offense, I would think.
No, they won't take offense. So
right.
If it's about Shalom Malchus, you don't have that heter, right?
Right.
If it's about, you know, Ava or anything, you don't have that, right? L'chara, you won't have that, right? Meaning it's certainly proper etiquette to be able to say to somebody, just uncomfortable, right? Yeah, I'm uncomfortable taking money. Not because you're a Christian, I'm uncomfortable taking money from you. That's normal. Okay, as far as the other shayla, just very quickly, and then we'll call it a night. So, you know, my first thought was, oh, this could have been such a better shayla if the wife was not yet Mekabel Shabbos, but was a Nida. That would have been like geshmak shayla, because then, like, you're dealing with better for the wife to pull it out of his ear when she's nida. Is that like, you know, being moshet miyada liyada, you know, chashash nagiya or whatever? But lemaisa, I don't know if she was nida or not, but she was mekabel Shabbos. So for the wife to pull it out of his ear and for him to pull it out of his own ear are going to be the same thing, right? So what would be the eitza? So what are the options over here? What are the options?
He could keep his phone in his pocket until they both die.
So he could keep his phone in his pocket till everything dies. So what's the downside of that? So the downside of that is, first of all, if he wants to go to shul, it's going to be a terrible Zilzul Shabbos if he's walking around with AirPods. second of all, you know, the fact that you're moving around with your phone, even though it's not an action of a malacha, it is, you know, it is tracking you, and the bars change and all of that. So it's not something that you would ideally want to do l'chadchila without any real tzorach. Also, I don't think his phone was in his pocket, so he would have to stay.
He could walk over and put his phone in his pocket, though.
So he should put his phone in his pocket. So then, what's the value of putting his phone in his pocket?
That way, he can walk around, and the AirPods won't die. And
yeah.
It smokes a machmas iser the tzarech gufo. He can move his phone because
it's a klisha malachta the iser.
Klisha malachta the iser the tzarech gufo. That way, he'll keep it in his pocket. His phone won't die.
Is that called the tzarech gufo when you don't really have any need for the phone?
It's certainly not Mechama Letzel. You need the phone to...
It might be worse than Mechama Letzel.
Why?
Because you don't need the phone and you don't need to protect the phone. You're just trying to get out of a pickle.
No, it's to stop yourself from doing anything. It's to stop yourself from doing anything, sir. That's the Tzarech Kufa.
I don't know if that's called the Tzarech Kufa. I'm not sure. I don't know. That's an interesting question. Shlomo,
I don't know.
What about using the earpods for something?
What do you mean?
Does that help at all?
What do you mean?
I don't know if you can find some use for them.
But he can't take them out, Stom, because taking them out changes, like, they go off when you take them out.
Oh, right.
Right, removing them.
I forgot.
So there are two things that need consideration over here. One is that, and he thought of this cheshbon, is that maybe it's considered Kabbalah Shabbos B'taus. Because if a person was a Kabbalah Shabbos B'taus, then the Kabbalah Shabbos is not a Kabbalah Shabbos, and Mela, he's allowed to take them out. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is just sort of shake him out. And that way, it's Tiltal B'gufo, and it's Melacha D'Rabbanan Kila Achar Yad. You know, it's at most a Melacha D'Rabbanan to shut them off, but it's Kila Achar Yad. You know, if he does it in a weird enough way, maybe even grandma, you know, if he slaps his head or something and then it just pops out on the other side. So you know, that's the other option. Kabbalah Shabbos B'taus, let me just grab my Mishnah Brura. Kabbalah Shabbos B'taus is a difficult argument to make for the following reason. What's the case of Kabbalah Shabbos B'taus? So I think in some Reish Samach Gimel, Seif Yodal, the Shulchan Aruch writes, "In biyom ha'mu'unan, ta'u tzibor v'chashu shechashecha, A cloudy day. Everyone thought it was dark. There were these dark, stormy clouds. So they davened Arvish al Shabbos. And then the clouds cleared and we saw that it was still sunny outside. That if it was after Plaga Mincha, they don't have to daven again. The im yachidu shata b'kach, if it was a yachid that made this mistake, tzarechu lachzor l'spal tefilas arvis. Ulinas yas melacha, bein tzibur bein yachid mutarim, dekabalas Shabbos haisa b'talus. That they're allowed to do melacha because their kabbalah Shabbos was b'talus. And then, Shulchan Aruch writes, v'yesh omrim shosim shudliku neros asurim basiyas melacha, v'sharan she'abayis mutarim, v'yesh omrim shosim neros shuluk, shem Shabbos asaligam v'chule. Okay, meaning that, so two deos in Shulchan Aruch, whether someone who already lit candles, but didn't realize what time it was, thought it was later than it was, whether that's called Kabbalah Shabbos b'taos. So that's the case of the Shulchan Aruch. Meaning, what's the ta'us the Shulchan Aruch is talking about? Well, the ta'us is that you didn't know what time of day it was, that you thought it was already time for Shabbos, when in reality, it wasn't time for Shabbos yet. Is this a Kabbalah Shabbos b'ta'us, where you didn't realize that there were ear pods in your ear? Is that enough of a Kabbalah Shabbos b'ta'us to warrant that? So that's a difficult question.
What about a neighbor? No neighbors?
So it was early, right? So he lives in an apartment building, right? So that, so the fact that he lives in an apartment building may have made it harder to find someone walking by. But l'chor, if there's a neighbor that had not yet been mekabel Shabbos, that's the best eitzah, right? I mean, if he stands by his door with the door open, or just looks out the window, waits for a neighbor, and says, because the halacha mefurashis in Shulchan Aruch is that if you've been mekabel Shabbos and your neighbor has not yet been mekabel Shabbos, even though there's nisra of amir la'akum on Shabbos, but amir l'Yisrael, when it's not Shabbos yet for the Yisrael, is totally mutter. It's heter gamur. So you could certainly ask a neighbor to come in and remove it. That would have been the best eitzah. The other thing I asked him is, were you really mekabel Shabbos? Was it just something that you made up in your mind to do, or you mekabel Shabbos verbally? And he said he was actually mekabel Shabbos verbally. He said, I'm hereby being Mekabel Shabbos. Like, he did it right, you know? It was after Plaga Mincha. He actually did it with Kavanah and everything. So anyway, so that, I think, probably the best date is to have a neighbor come and take it out. I don't think this is called Kabbalah Shabbos Petaus. He told me that he saw Rav Shlomo Zalman once that implies that it is a Kabbalah Shabbos Petaus, because Rav Shlomo Zalman, I forgot the case, but Rav Shlomo Zalman also was makel based on some other circumstance, meaning it wasn't based on the fact that it wasn't based on just the timing of it. There was some other circumstance that was involved. I don't remember exactly what the case of Shlomo Zalman was, but that's what he told me. So based on that Shlomo Zalman, he thought to be Mekel. Let me see if I could find in my correspondences. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like Kabbalah Shabbos B'Talos is simply that, you know, when it's a Talos about the time, but I'm not sure. I don't remember what the case of Rosh Hashanah is. I gotta ask him again. But okay, all right, I'm gonna have to go. I have a phone call to get on in 2 minutes. But thank you guys very much for coming to learn tonight, and we'll see if there's interest. Maybe we'll do Thursday nights. We'll continue doing it from the Rabbi's desk. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.
All right. Thank you.